At a time when investors are confronted with market volatility and a variety of challenges fueled by the uncertainty of inflation, unsettled geopolitical tensions, and economic pressures, Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Monday, March 18th, 2024 edition. I'm Justin Klein, and I'm joined, as always on Mondays, by Luke Guerrero. Thanks for being back here.
Thanks for having me. How was your weekend?
Weekend was good. Pretty relaxing overall. It felt good to get a little spring. Felt like spring, at least. Warming up here, although I had a thunderstorm earlier today. So, quite the dichotomy. There's exciting news today. Not just the thunderstorm, but Luke, we're actually recording this podcast for the first time on video. So
people can see me?
Yes, people can see you and me.
I'm sorry in advance.
I know, right? And they're also going to be able to see some of our charts and data as we go along when people ask questions about individual stocks, et cetera. So that's exciting. But also what is exciting is our InvestTalk Market Madness contest. And it kicks off tomorrow. The deadline for submitting your brackets was last night. And basically, round one will be tomorrow through Friday. And then we will have the second round that starts on Monday. And each day before the particular round that's coming up, we are going to preview each matchup. We're going to talk about each stock, give our 2 cents about their business, their market trends, their charts, et cetera. And I think it's going to be pretty exciting. And did you ever submit your bracket, Luke?
I did submit my bracket, so I'm excited to see how well I do. I know I can't win, unfortunately. I was hoping that I could truly compete, but certainly I'm looking forward to see how I did.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll come out on top. Obviously, we're not going to be winners, but one of our listeners will be the grand prize winner of $1,000. Now, today we're going to highlight our top eight matchups. I believe it's from the new economy region. So Affirm versus Vertiv, Aspen versus Roblox, Blend Labs versus Nexstar, Coinbase versus NetApp, CrowdStrike versus Motorola Solutions, Cytokinetics versus ImmunoBio, Dexicom versus Halozyme Therapeutics, and DigitalOcean versus Frontier Communications. So later on in the show, Luke and I are going to break all of those matchups down. But as usual, we're going to pivot over to our first caller before we touch on the market performance for today.
Hi, I have a large position in Fannie Mae, FNMA, and I was wondering how long I should hold it or when would be a good time to sell this year, I think. There's various things coming up, like election might affect the price, I guess, and maybe some legal decisions. Anyway, I appreciate your advice. Thank you.
Yeah, Fannie Mae has been mired in legal action basically since the financial crisis, and effectively what the Obama administration did was confiscates their profits to help finance the bailouts in 08, shall we say, 09. And that has been pushed back on by lawyers for now 15 years, roughly. And the trend right now in the stock is up. So is that telling us, Luke, that this is headed for a resolution that is good for shareholders?
It could be telling us that it's headed for a resolution that's good for shareholders, but it also could just be seen as a good opportunity for this caller to frankly get out of it. I think when you talk about Fannie Mae, when you talk about any entities that have, let's say, not necessarily the same profit incentive as a normal company that isn't overseen or influenced heavily by the government. I just think people tend to not appreciate that with the different type of structure, they're likely to not see the same type of return that you would see in a normal company. You know, Fannie Mae, heavy debt load, very small market cap, no profitability. It just doesn't seem like the type of company that it would be wise to hang on to in the long term. And given the recent run-up, really the recent relative strength since August of last year, frankly, I know it started to peak out a little bit in the past 3 months. I see this as a good opportunity to get out, especially if the position is as large as it seems like. I believe they said they had a large position. Did I hear that incorrectly?
I wasn't sure. I didn't hear anything about the size of this, but, you know, to me, this is a play simply on the legal aspects. And like most things, there are arguments on both sides. And, you know, maybe it is a play, you know, that there will be a change in administration that will benefit Fannie Mae. But, you know, we're investors here. So I rather be in a business that has a good business that isn't reliant on what happens in the courts. So while I agree with you, Luke, that this is probably a better time to think about selling it, I wouldn't be quick to, just simply because the technicals are strong. They're, you know, up 15 cents today, up nearly 10%, because it's only $1.67 at the close today. So, you know, I would probably keep a tight out on it, probably around the 20-day moving average. If it breaks below that, then I would probably get out. But I would be looking for an exit, because you never know with the legal case going forward. All right. Now we're going into a short break. On the other side, we'll talk about today's market activity. Please remember that you can call anytime and leave your questions on the Invest Talk Voice Bank. If you're listening via the live stream on AM 1220 radio on Silicon Valley or on our website, you can call now at 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk callers make each podcast unique.
I was calling about Intel. If it's worth holding on to, or should I sell it?
Their questions are curious.
Hello. I have saved up around $80,000, and I was wondering what I should do to make it grow.
Careful.
Oh, I'm just wondering, is this a value trap? Because it looks like it's gone down quite a bit.
Concerned.
It's taken quite the tumble today. I've been trying to get out of this position for a while. I think I waited too long.
And clever.
It does seem to be situated in some areas of expanding population.
And Justin Klein, Steve Peasley, and now Luke Guerrero are always ready with their unbiased answers.
And this is, it looks like a classic example of chasing yield. Don't chase the yield.
Next 12 months price to earnings is around 30. I just don't see it at this price.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. Everybody wants a secure financial future. That means you'll have finance and investment questions. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
All right, Luke, let's talk a bit about the market today, as we are in the midst of Fed week. This is the start of Fed week. Wednesday is the Fed announcement. They'll start their meeting tomorrow. And we had a fairly mixed day. You definitely had some strength out of the large cap tech, Alphabet up nearly 6%, Apple up about 2.5%, same with Tesla, although that did fade from later in the day, Nvidia up 4%. So interesting move to start the week. I don't know if it really reverses all of that trend that we saw last week, which was, you know, out of those bigger cap tech names and into the cyclical names. But what was your takeaway from the market's move today?
Yeah, like you, you know, mostly higher overall. Small caps underperformed, certainly. Large caps, yeah. which is a little bit of a difference from last week, or towards the end of last week, at least. But like you said, I think the big thing going on this week is going to be FOMC, not necessarily the rate decision, because we all know what that's going to be, but the forward guidance, as we were always looking to see if they make any adjustments given that deterioration of economic data into what their course would be in terms of that dot plot. I think one item that I saw this week, or rather today, was that the builder confidence beat was the highest that it's been in 8 months. That was certainly interesting, but not enough to change any narratives. I think today was generally just a overall positioning day awaiting the FOMC later this week.
Yeah, we did have the New York Fed Business Leader Survey that actually turned positive, whereas in the month of February, it was decidedly negative. So that was kind of the big economic news, along with that housing market update, like you said, that did beat. You know, what will be interesting on Wednesday will not be the rate decision. Everyone knows pretty much they're going to pause. We also know that it's about prognosticating what happens with rates going forward, but most importantly is actually going to be QT. And that's something that they hit on a little bit last meeting, that they were basically saying next meeting, that's when they'll have that that real discussion about the future path of QT. And so that will be what moves the market on Wednesday. So we'll be certainly looking out for that. And so when you read that report on Wednesday, make sure you're focusing the most on the QT discussion. All right. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 40 minutes or so. And our main focus point is about the U.S. office market and why it's the world's most oversupplied. And we know the sector has borrowed too much money, and a jump in people working from home has emptied offices throughout the United States. So we're going to talk about the U.S. office markets, how that might impact the real estate capital markets, and the trends going forward for office space demand. We're also going to touch on a few other topics. We know interest rates were top of mind for everybody in the fall, and the Fed pivot certainly was a catalyst for the market rally since the fall. But now, quietly, rates are starting to edge higher as the inflation data, say, disappoints. And we're going to talk about when will that really matter to markets overall. And then if we have time, gold miners are certainly benefiting from a breakout in gold prices. And the big question is, how will they benefit? Are they hedging their prices going forward, et cetera? So we're going to dig into that story as well. But obviously, the matchups for the InvestTalk Market Madness, that will be coming up, and that will be top of mind for everybody. Now, we're also going to hit on a voice bank question. One is on American Express and the other on PI, which is Impinj, I believe is how you say it. But of course, we're going to get to your finance investment questions first, most of all. So give us a call at 888-99-CHART. And to that end, we're going to pivot over to Sid in North Carolina. He wants to talk about Nike.
Hi, Justin and Luke. Good evening. Thank you for taking the call. Yes, I want to discuss about Nike.
Okay. So do you own it or looking to buy it?
No, I have a very little exposure in the retail space. I want to buy it, and I thought this might be a right price. But before I jump into, wanted to check all the technical analysis and what is the right price. Even they have a results lined up in this week, right? So wanted to check your feedback. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, Nike, we know it's a great business, obviously a great brand, one of the most recognized brands in the world. However, near term, their earnings trends are looking pretty suspect. And mainly that's because of China. They have had major growth in China over the past decade plus. And you're starting to see the Chinese consumer pivot more towards their domestic brands, not just in apparel, but cars as well. You're seeing more Chinese buying Neo cars versus Tesla cars, for example. And same is happening with Nike. I think it's Li Ning, I believe, is the one of the biggest apparel, sports apparel brands in China. And so Nike is losing market share there. And that's what you see with earning trends looking pretty poor. And the technicals certainly look poor as well. Consolidating here right around $100 per share. And it looks like it does want to break lower, close the gap that happened in last September. So I think it does head to around the $90 level from 98 and change today. What are you seeing, Luke?
I tend to agree. From a fundamental perspective, their debt levels are fine. Like you said, it's one of the most recognized brands on planet Earth, and they certainly have that going for them. But over the past 5 years, their annualized growth rate was about 7% in terms of revenue, but even that slowed within the last year. So I think this is really just a story of slowing growth, which with a lot of similar to a lot of brands that have found a big market in China. So I would expect, given what this chart looks like, its relative strength and its overall pattern over the past 4 months, that it would continue down a little bit. But it is approaching a reasonable price overall. Its price earning now stands at 24, which is certainly lower than its five-year average has been, and as is its price of book to book. So I do think it is quickly approaching what would be a buy point.
Yeah, if it gets to 90... I think that's a good area. In high 80s, around $90 per share. That's from a valuation perspective, that's pretty solid. And yeah, growth is slowing. Last quarter, only 1% revenue growth year over year. So I would be patient on it. Certainly should be on everyone's watch list. And at 90, that's when I think you start adding to your position. Now, let me alert you of the new Invest Thought Classroom episode that we have published. It's about the Bitcoin ETF story and its potential effects on the sector. So head over to YouTube and check out the latest video there. But we're waiting for your calls at 888-99-CHART.
Let's take a quick look at your financial to-do list. At the top, make that phone call to the InvestTalk Anytime listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Now let's talk to Tom. He is in Kentucky, and he wants to talk about Adidas. Do you own it or looking to buy it?
No, I own it, Justin, and I bought 115 shares in three stages when it was falling, I believe, a couple years ago. And so I've got like a $5,000 gain. Say he didn't think it was promising. I just wanted to see kind of what your opinion was. Together, should I just take my gain and look somewhere else, or do you think it's going to continue to go up?
Well, the trends are certainly positive in the charts and much better than what you're seeing out of Nike. And we know the two biggest sports apparel brands, those are pretty much them. And they typically fight for market share in all different types of sports. And they also have different strengths, different weaknesses, different geographical exposures. We talked about Nike and China. And Luke, I know you have some data on Adidas. What is their geographical exposure to China, the U.S., Europe, et cetera?
Yeah, only 10% of their revenue exposure comes from China. The United States, 22.5%. Germany, Canada, the UK, and France make up about 10%. Mm-hmm. I know my problem with Adidas, and I know there was some positive swings that came out of it in the past couple of months when they announced they wouldn't write down or write off their Yeezy brand, but instead try and sell that collection, is that was a big part of their revenue. And so one of the things that separated Nike and Adidas was that Adidas Originals brand. Mm-hmm. And with the controversy surrounding their Yeezy products, there certainly has been a fall off after that. There seems to be some recovery given, like I said, what they decided to do with it. But that's still, their profitability is still taking a fall over the past 5 years. Their cash flow has taken a fall over the past 5 years. And their debt levels have remained the same. But I think they still have a lot to do before I would consider investing more in them.
Yeah, and that's why the stock peaked back in 2021. And for everyone else out there, Yeezy is Kanye West's brand, and he left Adidas. Does he have a new home yet?
I think he's just making his own clothes, I believe.
Yeah, it makes sense. But if what's interesting, though, is maybe it's for the better. Because when Kanye started with Adidas? I can't remember what year that was.
Not sure. I think it was the early teens. Yeah, November 2013 is when he signed with Adidas.
Got it. Okay. So that was pretty beneficial. The return on invested capital in 2013 was only about 7.5%, and it trended higher up until the mid-teens, 2019, to 23%. Now it's negative. But, if you say, okay, they're going to go back to their, roughly between 7 and 10% return on invested capital pre-Kanye, then, you know, that's a good business. It's not an amazing business, certainly not as profitable as Nike. So, you know, I think over the long term, you'll probably do better owning Nike than Adidas. But near term, those trends are certainly better. So you don't want to be jumping off the kind of the near term trend of Adidas just to get into Nike. That's currently in a downtrend. But I do think longer term, that's probably a better place to allocate capital. But for now, I would hold Adidas and have a tight stop on it. Thanks for the call. Now, our main focus point today is in regards to the U.S. office market and the fact that there is some recent comments from Brookstone and Brookfield, some of the largest players within the commercial real estate market. And Brookfield's managing partner for real estate capital markets says that per capita, the U.S. is the most oversupplied office market in the world, with office vacancies around 20% in larger cities, which is much higher than what you're seeing over in Europe. So, I don't know, Luke, is this just kind of telling everybody something we already know, or is this just another data point that says, hey, we're going through a multi-year correction in office prices, balance sheets of banks, and those that are exposed to the space are going to have to adjust? Or do you think it's maybe the canary that says, okay, there's going to be much bigger problems across this space as a whole?
I think it can be multiple of those things. I think we all know what the root cause is here, right? During COVID, or really before COVID into COVID, a lot of people got to work from home. And for me specifically at my old company, our policy before COVID was you have to be in the office 5 days a week. You're never going home. And so we thought it wasn't possible. And then overnight, it switched 1,700 employees from home. And they realized that productivity didn't really suffer that much. And so there has been a slow transition back into people coming into the office, but it certainly is never going to go back to where it was before. And because of that, that's exactly what you're seeing in these major cities. You're seeing a lot of office vacancies. So I think it can be an issue because the value of these things don't necessarily get written down as they should, or really investors can't see the value, the true value of these things on some bank balance sheets. And it could create a systematic issue. I don't see that happening anytime in the near future, but it's certainly something we should all watch.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is this will be a multi-year correction and one-off little events where things are going to have to be sold for a loss. Certain banks will have to take write-downs, but the regulators are on top of this. You know, post-financial crisis, it's pretty clear that they're not going to let any potential risk just kind of fall by the wayside. You know how they said subprime was contained back before the financial crisis? Obviously, it wasn't. They're not going to make that mistake again. So this is a trend that is probably continuing, but it's not going to be the end of the world for the banking sector as a whole. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll look into this topic, the 10 most important shareholder rights. That story tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein, ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART. At this point, I think almost everyone has heard how generative AI promises to bring us to the next industrial revolution. AI is already shaping society with an impact on daily life that echoes the transformative significance of electricity or the internet. As we take steps to embrace the potential of generative AI, we need to remain vigilant with regard to its exploitability. This is where HackerOne comes in. HackerOne's AI Red Team addresses the novel challenges of AI safety and security for businesses that are launching new AI deployments. The HackerOne approach involves targeted offensive testing by harnessing the collective skills of ethical hackers who are proficient in AI and prompt hacking. In short, AI red teaming is the practice of stress testing AI models and deployments to make sure they can't be tricked into providing information beyond their intended use, and that security flaws can't be exploited to access confidential data or systems. HackerOne seamlessly integrates with your existing tools to enhance communication and collaboration across development, security, and IT teams. So, stay ahead of the game in the battle against cyber threats with HackerOne's Attack Resistance Platform. Learn more at HackerOne.com. That's HackerOne.com. HackerOne.com.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. How they get there and when they get there, that depends on many variables. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go talk to Dan. He is in Orinda, California. How you doing, Dan?
Don, but that's
oh, Don. Okay,
okay.
Sorry, Don, Dan. I get fed these. I got Dan. So okay, Don, and you had a question.
All my life.
I know, right? I get the same thing. I get Jason instead of Justin. So
even I call him Jason.
He's done it before.
Yes, I understand. But I will be standing in a line, fast food or something, and I'll say, you know, what's your name? Don. D-O-N. I'll wait for Dan. I've even answered to Bob. It was just like, come on, give me a break.
Sometimes I've learned to just go with it. Anytime someone calls me Jason, I just go with it.
Exactly.
So you had a question,
anyway,
Don?
I'm Bill. Yeah, yes, I have some cash. I just rolled over into an IRA, mm-hmm. and so I'm looking at building a bond ladder. Mm-hmm. This is for the wife. She's very conservative, wants to put the money under the mattress type of stuff.
Okay.
What's the difference between an agency and CD? Is there really, I'm being conservative, but I'm not going to go overboard with this.
Yeah. I mean, both are going to be very conservative. It's hard to say one is safer than the other. Both are backed by the full faith of the U.S. government, pretty much. So, I wouldn't really say one is safer than the other. I'd probably just go with whatever one gives you the higher yield for the same duration. Would you say the same thing, Luke?
Okay.
Yeah, I tend to agree, Jason.
As far as callable and not callable, I guess. Is there one preferred? I understand the bother of, I've had to buy plenty of bonds to replace the ones that get called. But is it really worth worrying about that?
Well, I think we're entering an era where interest rates are headed higher. So the odds that you're going to get called are probably lower than they have been in the past. So I don't mind buying callable bonds if you're getting compensated for it, right? You have to have better yield for that. So,
yeah.
All right.
Gotcha.
Thanks for the call, Don. Appreciate it. All right. Now we're going to pivot over to our InvestTalk Market Madness matchups. Tomorrow is round one in the new economy region. And how this is going to work is Luke and I are going to go back and forth. I'm going to highlight one of the companies in the matchup. He will highlight the other, and then we'll discuss which one we like the best each for tomorrow. Remember, this is one day. So it's whatever company performs best tomorrow in all of these matchups. Okay. So the first matchup is Affirm versus Vertiv. And for everyone else out there, Affirm is a growth stock, poor profitability in the past, but it's supposed to make money this year and next year. But as we've seen with a lot of these growth names, that's a big if. It's a buy now, pay later platform. It's kind of been copied by many others, but they were really the first mover and a lot of money went into this space. But it's well down from its IPO price, around over $100 per share. Now it's at 34 and change. The technicals are okay, but in a near-term downtrend, certainly oversold, so could get a pop tomorrow. That's probably the best case for tomorrow being a good day for a firm is that it's oversold. What about Vertiv?
So Vertiv, it builds and services cloud, or rather critical infrastructure technologies for data centers, communication services, and industrial environments. And the biggest, it's a decent company. It's a little expensive in my mind. It's
a lot
debt
of these new economy companies are
a lot of these new economy companies are going to be expensive. Their cash flow is improving. Their profitability is improving. But like you said, this is a one-day thing. So none of that is the reason why I think Vertiv is going to have a better day tomorrow. The reason I think Vertiv is going to have a better day tomorrow is plain straight momentum. Yeah. Year to date, Vertiv is up 60%.
Yeah.
52 weeks, it's up 487%.
Yeah.
So when things are going up, and they're going up this fast, on short time frames, they tend to continue to do so. So I think more likely than not, Vertiv is going to be the winner in this matchup tomorrow.
I would agree with that. All right, let's go to the next one. It is Aspen Aerogels, versus Roblox. Now, for everyone else out there, Aspen is a small cap name, and it's mainly benefiting from massive investment in EVs, EV infrastructure, and modernization of the electrical grid. What they do is they make aerogels for insulation to help control temperatures when there's high voltages moving. And in the EV space, obviously, there's a lot of electricity involved there, and you want to make sure things don't get too hot and everything melts down, right? So the technicals are good, oversold right now into the 20-day moving average. So I kind of like the setup going into tomorrow, but, you know, anything can happen in one day. Tell us more about Roblox. Most people know what Roblox does.
Like you said, most people know about Roblox, but it's an online gaming platform, really. So I don't like the company. We've talked about this company on here. It makes $0. I don't think it's ever made money. Yet somehow,
and it broke, just broke a terrible day today. It broke all the major moving averages, below the 200-day moving average now.
Its relative strength is bad. It looks like it's going to head lower than, you know, maybe even down to all the way to 25 pretty soon. From a relative strength perspective, it's bad. It's a serial issuer of shares. It's like somebody's just paying them to issue shares year after year, which technically people are paying them because they're buying the shares. But yeah, my money, should I be putting any money on this, which I'm not, would be for Aspen tomorrow.
I agree, for sure. All right, the next one would be Blend Labs versus Nexstar. Blend Labs is another small cap name. It's a platform lender that can be used to streamline the application process for new loans. So if you're a lender and you want to get borrowers through the process of paperwork faster, then this is a platform that they could use. And the profitability is not good, but it is improving. Growth is slowing, however, and I would say the chart is modestly bullish, but overbought near term. And so tomorrow could go either way. It's at the area around $3 and change, $3.10 or so, where this pulled back dramatically in late February as well as earlier this month. So, you know, it's still in an uptrend. It could break out tomorrow or it could have another setback. So pretty interesting. Oh, what about Nexstar?
So Nexstar is a media company and it specializes in television and digital media broadcasting. It's a pretty big company. So people, it's a pretty big company in terms of reputation, although it's only a small cap company. Its profitability has been declining over the past 5 years, kind of oscillating from its high in 2021. And its cash flow over the past year has been declining as well. Its relative strength, not that great, and it's up about 1.7% year to date. If you take a look at a comparative on them in terms of momentum and you look how they've done over the past 3 months, I don't see how you don't go with Blend Labs tomorrow.
Well, my argument would be the opposite, mainly is because of support and resistance. Blend Labs is at resistance, whereas Nexstar is at support here, where it found support in early February and earlier this month. So kind of around the 160 level. So if I'm picking one, this is the first one I disagree with you. I'm going to go with Nexstar tomorrow over Blend Labs, but we shall see. The next one will be Coinbase. Everyone knows kind of what Coinbase does. It's the largest crypto trading platform/exchange that's out there. They're obviously dealing with SEC lawsuits and probes and ongoing regulatory changes. The profitability has been all over the map, up and down and sideways. A lot depends really on sentiment within the crypto space. And what you've seen as of late, it's been a surge in the demand for crypto and the interest in crypto, mainly because of the Bitcoin ETF launch. But Coinbase has benefited, right? They've rallied from a low around 120 in early February. Now it peaked out around 270. Now we're at around 240 at the close today. A lot will depend on what Bitcoin does, and Bitcoin looks to be pulling back as well. So I think the setup for tomorrow is, I would say, modestly bearish. What about NetApp?
Yeah, well, NetApp, it's a cloud software company. Software systems. And so it's benefited from the AI trend, frankly, this year. It's up 15%, 15.47% year-to-date. It pulled back 0.5% today. But given that, like you said, Coinbase is primarily going to be driven by what Bitcoin is doing, and Bitcoin seems to be pulling back, I would probably be behind NetApp today. From a business perspective, it's pretty flat in terms of profitability. Its cash flow is steadily getting better, and its relative strength sparked up a bit towards the end of February. So, like I said, I think generally the safer choice would be NetApp.
Yeah, I agree. It spiked up. I'm assuming that was earnings on the 1st. It looks like the 1st of March. And it's been kind of trending sideways to slightly down since then. But that's just bullish consolidation. So I would go with NetApp on this one, especially because over the past day, Bitcoin is down. So, and I think the near-term trends in Bitcoin are negative. So those are the first four matchups for this this first round that starts off tomorrow, and we'll get to the second set of four coming up here in a bit. But Luke, let's talk a little bit about interest rates. And last fall, there was certainly a lot of talk around the Fed pivot, them prognosticating 3 rate cuts throughout the year. And as of January, the futures market placed a 85% chance that there would be 6 or more rate cuts by the end of the year. So about 1.5% coming off of the Fed funds rate. But as of now, there's a 70% chance there will be 3 or less by year end. So markets have certainly shifted their expectations for where Fed funds rate will be at the close of the year. And that has slowly pushed the Fed or the 10-year from a low near the end of last year, about 3.8%, call it 3.75%, now up to 3.34% at the close today. But there hasn't really been a requisite comeuppance, shall we say, in the markets that tells you, you know, this is going to be a problem. So do you think that the market finally starts paying attention to the sticky inflation numbers and the shift in rate expectations?
I mean, that's an interesting question. You know, if you take a look at rate expectations, I almost talked about interest rates on Friday, but what I started out with was mentioning that we certainly didn't believe that the Federal Reserve was going to cut rates 7 times. We've been talking about that for months at this point. It seems the market finally caught up to where we were on that one. But I think that generally, what's happening within the market is the secular growth trend has been artificial intelligence this entire time. And so the market is so blinded by that in a way that there hasn't really been a correction, even though the anticipation of rates has come down by 0.5%. That's pretty significant to have not seen a correction, given that the entire basis of pricing is a discount of cash flows, right? So do I think that this is going to eventually precipitate a correction? I'm not sure. I think that there's still a lot of cash on the sidelines. There's a reason to believe that, you know, not a lot of it's going to go towards equities to prop up equities. I think a lot of people are still searching for yield, and so long as they can get that within safe fixed income, they're going to do that. But cash has been thrown pretty much everywhere, regardless of what the anticipation of interest rates is going to be.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of confounding about the current market is everything about the rebound in the markets since the fall has been about that Fed pivot. And that Fed pivot just continues to be pushed off longer and longer. So, you know, liquidity dynamics, while are still positive, are certainly potentially ebbing right now in the near term, especially as we head into tax season. Right, it is tax season. There's a lot of people that owe taxes, especially in a year where equities did very well, and so they're going to need a source of capital. And oftentimes, kind of in this period where, you know, that month left until tax day, this is where you might see some, I think, seasonal weakness. So I'd be on the lookout for that. But what's happening most of all is that rotation in markets. And what's interesting is about the rise in interest rates, going from, like I said, 3.75% now to over 4.75%, in the 10-year, is that the dollar has not had that requisite takeoff. So even though the sentiment has shifted, I think there's some structural weakness that might be setting into the dollar. And if that's the case, then money is going to naturally flow into those sectors that do well in a weak dollar environment. And that would be commodities, basic materials, energy, industrials, right? Because a weaker dollar means the domestic industrial base becomes more competitive, et cetera. So the cyclical names are certainly starting to do better. And I think that's that's the underlying trend that, that we're seeing, despite rates going up, that the dollar has shifted to a more bearish tone. And that's starting to feed into markets. So that's kind of what I've seen. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, does the Fed actually cut this year? If they do, you know, that could spark a real larger sell-off in the dollar. Now, listen, Invest Talk, I'm Justin Klein, and we have one goal here each and every weekday, and it's to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break, where we're going to cover our last four matchups for tomorrow's first round. Give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
Today's market, more than ever, you need unbiased investing guidance because it can help you achieve financial freedom. Well, you've come to the right place. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Now let's finish up with the last four matchups of the Invest Talk Market Madness first round that starts tomorrow. And the next one would be CrowdStrike and Motorola Solutions. Now, CrowdStrike is a security software company, high growth and even higher multiples, trading at nearly 100 times forward-looking earnings, although growth is slowing, which means a correction is likely coming. And it's been in a bit of a correction over the past week. It looks like it did top back on the 6th and is in a mini bearish consolidation pattern. So I think there's a decent chance this has a down day tomorrow. Luke, tell us more about Motorola Solutions.
Well, Motorola is a communication infrastructure company. People may know them from the Motorola Razr, which I remember when I was younger and that first came out. I was super excited about that phone. I thought it was so sleek. But it is a fundamentally strong company. It's been in an uptrend since last October. But given where CrowdStrike has been over the past 3 months in terms of momentum, if we're talking about a one-day price change, I'm going to have to go behind CrowdStrike.
Ooh, this is tough because MSI did have a pretty big down day today and a pretty big decent reversal from the high. So could see some follow through tomorrow. This is a toss up for me. I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to bet on Motorola Solutions. The technicals just overall look better, at least near term.
Got to keep it spicy.
There we go. Now the next one is Cytokinetics. Cytokinetics versus ImmunoBio. And Cytokinetics is a classic money losing biotech. Now, they recently did have some good news on positive phase 3 trials. They barely have any revenue. It peaked in January and has been trending lower ever since. So definitely negative short term. So not a good setup heading in tomorrow. What about Immunity Bio?
That is another money-losing biotech. It is specializing in immunotherapy to defeat cancer and other infectious diseases. It's had quite the run-up over the past 3 months, but still not as good as Cytokinetics. So I'm going to have to go with that tomorrow.
All right. Immunity Bio. I'll go with Immunity Bio, just based on the chart. All right, let's go to the next one. Would be, both of them are not good companies. So
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. The next one would be Dexcom versus Halozyme. Is that how you say it? Therapeutics?
Sure. Let's go with that.
There you go. So Dexcom, pretty large company, $52 billion market cap, and they make glucose monitoring systems and has good growth, trading at pretty high multiples, though, especially with competition and Ozempic that, you know, maybe could cure a lot of these diabetics. Near-term bullish consolidation, though, decent setup heading in tomorrow in my mind. What about Halozyme?
Halozyme. It's a biopharm company. They specialize in auto-injector technology.
Okay.
From a fundamental perspective, their sales have grown 40% year over year. I don't know. This year they've been up almost 10%. This is going to be a tough one.
Just the recent pullback in the last few days, Halo looks like it might be going for a further maybe retest of maybe the $38 level. It's at 40 and change now. I'm going to go with Dexcom, at least near term. The setup just looks juicier.
Now, I got to go with Halo on this one.
All right. Well, we'll see tomorrow. Let's go. The last one would be DigitalOcean. D-O-C-N is the symbol. And this is a software platform that helps programmers build out applications faster. Profits are trending higher. Growth is slowing a bit. But the technicals just look like they're grinding higher positively. So decent setup going into tomorrow, looks fairly valued from a valuation perspective. Actually looks like a decent potential opportunity in the tech space. There aren't a lot of those. So I'm going to give DigitalOcean a positive vibes as we head into tomorrow. What about Frontier Communication?
Frontier Communication, it's an internet and video service provider. From a fundamental perspective, doesn't look that great. Sales down 8% year over year, relative strength. Poor. I'm going to have to go with DigitalOcean tomorrow.
Yeah, that momentum is just too strong. Well, that about does it for the first round matchups, at least in the new economy region. And we'll get to our next region tomorrow. So be on the lookout for those matchups and we'll break those down. I'm Justin Klein, along with Luke Guerrero. This completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And tell your friends about the new Market Madness contest. Just head over to investtalk.com and learn more. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.